Hello, and welcome to Something's Off with Andrew Heaton. I am your host, Andrew Heaton. Happy Friday to you. We're going to do a Friday Release Valve episode here in a few minutes. If you're new to the program, that's where we give up just any pretense of trying to discuss anything of even remote substance. In fact, we're going to avoid it as hard as we possibly can so that you don't have to think at the end of your week on a Friday. Just enjoy yourself. So happy Friday. And also, happy National Oklahoma Day. I don't know what that means. I don't understand how the state of Oklahoma has a national holiday. I don't take my cues from the federal government in terms of which states I honor on which days. But for those of you that aren't living in Oklahoma or from Oklahoma, you're welcome for everything we've done. And we'll get to my guest Jennings in a minute. But before we do that, we got to pay those bills, don't we? And that means a word from our sponsor. Something's Off with Andrew Heaton is brought to you by Tornado Repellent from Wunderchem Industries, the best product on the market for avoiding tornado activity. So, need to do some house cleaning on this sponsor, not a big deal. Just don't want anybody to get into trouble. Obviously, tornado repellent does a good job of warding off tornadoes, clearly. Also, it doubles as wasp spray. They don't say that, I'm not sure why, but you can use it on tornadoes or wasps. That's pretty handy, right? The thing is, apparently, the active chemical in tornado repellent also attracts Category 4 hurricanes. I have no idea why. It's some kind of science thing. Apparently, tornadoes hate it, but hurricanes are incredibly aroused by it. So in all likelihood, if you're in a state bordering the Gulf Coast, you might accidentally attract two or three Category 4 hurricanes simultaneously. Now, obviously, this isn't an issue if you're in Iowa or Nebraska or Hutchinson, Kansas, or someplace like that. You guys can just tune this out. Enjoy your Friday. But if you're in New Orleans or Tallahassee, or maybe one of those further north states like Massachusetts, you should make sure there are no hurricanes in the area before using your tornado repellent. As previously mentioned, I am from Oklahoma, so I don't really know when hurricane season is exactly. I think it's after Easter on the Gregorian calendar. Don't quote me on that. My point is, if you live in a hurricane-prone area, probably best to avoid using tornado repellent unless you're very confident you have tornadoes in the neighborhood. Also, you can use tornado repellent to kill hornets. I didn't mention that earlier. It kills wasps and hornets, so that's good. Tornado repellent from Wunderchem Industries. Does it feel windy in here? No, because we used tornado repellent. My guest today, here to sort out with me the more obscure but awesome headlines of the week, is my producer, Jennings.
Hello, Heaton, and happy Oklahoma Day to you, my fellow Oklahoman.
Happy Oklahoma Day to you. You, when we met, you were living out near Alva in, hold on, because you were in Cherokee, I think?
And I was in Cherokee when we first met.
The Prague of, hold on, we have one of those. We have a Prague, Oklahoma. Cherokee is like the Toledo of Oklahoma.
Yeah, I think
And Cherokee, Alva is the Milan.
Cherokee's more like the Sodom and Gomorrah of Oklahoma.
Oh, no, I guarantee you.
Shout out to my Cherokee friends.
We're just going to go really down the hole real quick. If Sodom and Gomorrah exists in Oklahoma, it's in southeast Oklahoma. That's the part
right.
with alligators and meth.
You're right.
100%.
You're right.
If there's a Sodom and Gomorrah, it's down there.
Yeah. How about the Beirut of Oklahoma?
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Yeah. Work?
So back when Evan and I were in college, we would do these weekends of awesomeness. We go down various quadrants. Shout out to Evan, who might be listening. Happy Oklahoma Day, buddy. We went down to, Tallahena, I think, in southeastern Oklahoma, and we were getting tacos at the only non chain Mexican restaurant I've ever seen that had a drive through in it. And we went in and we're ordering them, and there's very clearly a bullet hole in the window, like just clearly. And I was like, "Hey, what's that bullet hole about?" And the people that were serving, they're just like, "Oh, Marianne's boyfriend took a shot a few weeks ago." I was like, and he's in prison? What's the, like, no one knew what the like, oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, so anyway, that's a happy Oklahoma Day to you. Want to sort out some headlines?
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool, all right. First headline, Powerball winner of $344 million jackpot used numbers from a fortune cookie.
Ugh.
So this is my immediate thought. Is that what fortune cookies are for? Is it because they got those numbers on the back, right? I always assumed it was like a serial code. Apparently, we've been doing this wrong. They've been giving us lotto numbers the whole time.
It turns out it is, and I actually, believe it or not, I knew that. But I mean, here's the thing: my numbers never win. Yeah. So my conclusion here is I clearly need to steal other people's fortune cookies.
I think that's it. You need to just make that a part of your Chinese food experience. It's just on your way out. Just reach over, grab a fortune cookie, and then just go, what you gonna do?
Yeah. They look at me and I just go, shh.
What I would like to do, if I owned a fortune cooking company, is I would put in hyper-specific messages in it that I know would make no sense to 99% of the people, but there would be one that says, like, Steven, your wife is poisoning you and you have new pants or something like that, right? Or like Bob, your best friend's gonna, like, your best friend, comma, Jordan, comma, is stealing your lawnmower right now. And like, it would never work, but that one guy.
One guy.
Yeah. Or you could really screw some stuff up with just, will you marry me? Like, if you put that in, like, one out of every 50,
that's,
like, eventually that would cause some problems, I think.
Unquestionably, yeah. That's a... although I feel like your company would have to make quite the investment there, because if you're going to put "Will you marry me" into a fortune cookie, you really need to like pony up and put a ring in there.
Yeah.
I mean,
you can afford like a cubic zirconia. It's like a little prize.
Yeah. That's actually going to get the guy into more trouble. Than just if he had said, "Will you marry me?"
If there's
a cheap ring in there.
Yeah. Who's Nick Offerman? Who's the guy that played Ron Swanson?
Ron Swanson. Yeah.
His autobiography came out maybe 5 years ago. It's called "Paddle Your Own Canoe," which is like true story. I'm one of the blurbs on the back.
Oh wow.
Because I got an advance copy. I was doing some freelance work for CBS at the time. And
you just wrote it in and didn't tell anybody?
Yeah. Well, no, they didn't. Like, I'm actually really bummed out because they don't quote me. They quote, at the time, there was a thing called CBS Man Cave Daily.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of like Cracked. It was like CBS's version of Cracked. So they attribute it to that. But the quote was like, this is like if Garrison Keillor wrote a Playboy article, which, by the way, completely different post Me Too, very different connotation to it now. But at the time was like, oh, folksy dude. Anyway, in his book,
we all know Ron Swanson's proclivities. It's fine.
He likes brunettes and breakfast food. He's very clear about that.
Yeah.
But in his book he talks about how, you know, he's clearly just madly in love with Megan Mullally. Like, it's really touching. Like, he really is just in a schoolboy crush with this woman. And when they went to Paris together and he was planning to propose, he brought like 7 fake rings and would just constantly take a knee and be like, "Would you?" And then he would like accidentally drop it and roll it into a gutter and just did, like, which. That is the mark of a good relationship, when you control your wife about wedding rings before you propose to her.
You should put a space in there, when you can troll your wife, not when you control your wife.
Yes. I'm sorry. Thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah. A different kind of trolling. Controlling. All right. Let's kick it to another one. Student posts high school for sale on Craigslist, barred from graduation for implied threat. So what happened is, this kid went on Craigslist and wrote a comedic article. This was, I thought it was funny. He offered to sell his school for $12,275. And he goes through the whole thing and he's like, it's near Walmart, up and coming neighborhood, lots of parking, all that stuff. And then he offers to sell it for $12,000. But he said that the reason he was selling it is lack of students coming up, which I think refers to matriculation. That's what he said. But it was taken as a, maybe he's going to kill students, which I think is a major leap to go from there to there. My two thoughts on this are, one, if I were selling a school, I would probably sell it for more than $1,300.
You would think.
I don't know how much they cost, but I assume it's
13,000. Yeah.
13.
But even then, 13,000.
I feel like you should really,
that's low.
You should really break 100,000 if you're selling a school, right? And then also, like, I feel bad for this kid because he didn't do anything, right?
Right.
Like, I've
he
seen,
didn't complete the transaction.
Yes, and it does not appear that he had any inclination to do so. I've seen, like, there are plenty of fun yearbook stunts people do where they at least do something, you know, like shout out to someone in Oklahoma did. This was not in my graduating class, but I think 3 years after I graduated, one of our yearbooks, One of the pages, and I don't have all the details right, but I've got the story correct about this. One of the pages was just like the dictionary to, like, you know, learning and all that, right? And it's all blurred out except for one word, cunnilingus, which was not blurred out. It was strategically not blurred out. And that kid, like, he didn't get to graduate. And,
for
like,
that?
Yeah, he. I mean, maybe they let him do it later. I know they didn't let him walk. I think they suspended him.
Wow.
The iron fist of Deer Creek Public Schools came down on him. But he, like I'm not, I would have been like, oh, good job, buddy. Like, yeah. I would have been fine with that. But he at least, like, did something, right?
Yeah.
There was at least, like, a thing. But like no property damage, anything like that. I don't know. I think they're sniffing too hard with that kid.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I will say I wanted to just very quickly talking about pranks that have backfired.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the tradition? I assume it's not just an Oklahoma tradition of when one of your friends is getting married, like especially if you're the best man, you go out on the day of the wedding before the wedding takes place with the groomsmen usually. And you've acquired keys to this person's car, the groom's car, presumably, and you open it up and you put all kinds of just horrible things in there.
Oh, yeah, it's like an embarrassing thing. Like,
yeah.
You go to sex shops and things,
right,
like that.
Right, condoms, okay, that you, like, put over the mirror and things, yeah, like that. So
which you should do when it hails anyway. That's
you
just
should.
Good practice.
You should. It's so... One of my cousins whom you know got married a number of years back, and he was aware of the practice. He had participated in the practice in the past, but his wife to be was very, very clear. This is not
no
to happen.
No condoms on.
No,
the
no
mirrors.
Anything.
Okay.
No anything.
Yeah.
And I wasn't the best man, but I was one of the groomsmen, and the best man had in fact acquired the key to the car, and he said, "Oh, we're definitely doing this." And I participated because I thought, oh, this will be fun. And everybody does it anyway. It's just what you do. We went way too far. We dumped bags and bags of sawdust into the back seats, of the all through the floorboards of the back seats. We did the thing with the condoms.
Yeah.
There was like the washable paint, you know, that you write stuff on the all over the place. And... probably the most insidious thing we did was, you know, those very, very cheap air fresheners that you put in cars that you like hang up that smell horrible,
yeah, yeah,
just awful. He had bought a number of these, the cheapest ones he could get, so they'd be the most awful.
Discount, taxi driver, BO
yes.
flavored, yeah.
Yeah. We hid those throughout the car, like pushed them down in between seats and down like into the crack of the seats and all of that. Yeah, that one was going to be a problem for a while. So we were very proud of ourselves. We sneak back into
How
the church.
How much sawdust, I would like to know.
We're talking...
Because that's the thing that I find like, that's hard, because you get a vacuum with
that,
right?
Oh, and sawdust is actually hard to vacuum. Like it doesn't come up very easily. And we did, I think if I remember correctly, it was two large bags, and each bag was probably like the size of a pillow, like a bed pillow, or maybe even a little bit bigger. Actually, you know, it had to have been more than that because it filled the floorboards of the back seat all the way up to the seat. Like it was, yeah, no doubt a massive undertaking.
Did you put in like one hamster?
Oh, we should.
Like that? Because that would have been kind of cool. Where you're like, really, really, we're just building a habitat.
Like we bought you a pet.
Yeah.
We were just trying to help.
You know?
No, we didn't. So we were very proud of ourselves. We sneaked back into the church. The wedding goes through without a hitch. It's beautiful. All of this. And we're all kind of giggling a little bit as they finally walk out to the car. And the bride just bursts into tears and starts just wailing and sobbing.
Oh, wow.
It could not have backfired harder.
Oh, my. Oh, poor yeah. wife whose wedding dress even today is covered with remnant sawdust material. And
she did eventually forgive me, but...
But you nonetheless had to move down to Dallas with me to escape
the wrath. Yeah,
I was
incognito for a while. But.
Yeah, yeah. This is how you should look at it. Think about how much worse it would have been if you'd used glitter instead of sawdust. Because she would still, like today, she would wake up and be like, oh, more glitter from my eyes, even though it's been 8.5 years. Yeah. All right. Let's pivot to another story.
Sure.
Hooters, the restaurant, pivoting brand because millennials don't like boobs. So I did some research into this. This is more my speed. Pornhub did a survey for all of the very, very above board people that listen to the program. Pornhub is a pornographic website. They did a survey of 18 to 24 year olds that aren't searching for breasts nearly as much as other age groups. So basically millennials are no longer boob guys is the takeaway from this. And they've seen a 7% drop in restaurant locations from 2012 to 2016 with Hooters. So they're thinking about changing the name to Hoots, which has nothing to do with breasts or owls. And nobody yet knows if this will have an effect. I have a lot of thoughts on this, Jennings.
Me too.
So the first one is I blame myself in part on this because I don't peruse pornographic websites nearly as much as I used to. So I might be kind of at fault for throwing off the curb here, but I'm still very much pro boobs. So like I would like maybe we could do like a letter writing campaign to like, hey Pornhub, I don't go to you anymore, but. I would like my preferences known. And then the other thing is this is a weird way to put this. If I haven't been to Hooters in a while, but I went I'm going to back up. I dated a waitress from Hooters for a bit, or she'd been like maybe a year before we met. It was a lot of fun. It was a ton of fun. It was a fun dating situation, and I moved here to Texas and was like, she was cool. I wonder if I could date another girl like that. So I went to Hooters and was like, I don't like this place. I'm not a fan. I feel like everybody's trying to sell me stuff. The wings aren't that good. What I think they should do is this. Double down on owls. Just completely, it's already Hooters, right? It could be boobs or owls. Don't make it boob themed. Make it owl themed. I would go to an owl restaurant. Like, first of all, family friendly. That's right. Harry Potter stuff, right?
Right.
You could also have like maybe the waitress. I'm just thinking off the top of my head here. Waitresses could dress like Athena because she had that owl, right? Which is empowering. And then also, I feel like there's a dearth of owl themed restaurants.
Or they could even go the Snuffies route and have multiple owls carry the waiter or waitress
like
out to
they
the
could
table.
Bring your appetizers ready.
Yeah.
And like an owl comes in and drops the grapes or whatever.
Yeah, we better be careful. We're selling ads for another company besides Snuffies.
Yeah, you're right. Probably no mice too. Yeah.
You would think.
Yeah, yeah. So Hooters, take that one and roll with it. What do you think? I feel like you probably got thoughts on this.
Well, I mean the main takeaway I have from this is Hooters, if you're out there, if you're listening and you're gonna do this, if you're going to go to all that trouble to just please these stupid millennials, please. Send us your surplus boobs, please.
So you're saying that just all the people that work there currently that might get laid off can come hang out on set? I'm fine with that. Yeah.
Or just literally send us boobs. But I mean, I would prefer the former to the latter, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. either way, we'll take them. Yeah. All right, next story. Prison sentence for man who shot at fireflies he thought were alien lasers. So turns out this man that was literally using a gun to try and take out fireflies might have been on bath salts. It's possible there was some drug interaction here. I suspect there was, which, you know, we covered hallucinogenics last week.
Yep.
I'm not going to go out on a limb here. If you ever do drugs of any sort, I'm going to say even binge drinking, you probably shouldn't have a gun. That's like that's gun etiquette, right? You're not supposed to have anything other than coffee. And even then, you shouldn't have too much coffee because your trigger finger gets itchy.
I would tend to agree. I will posit this, though. I mean, I do think we have to consider the possibility that he's right.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. What if those were aliens? See, my bigger concern is, what if aliens do come down and we've already incarcerated this guy and he's like the one guy within blasting distance and he's like, I learned my lesson.
Yeah, right.
I'm not doing it at all.
We're dead.
Yeah,
at that point.
We're not gonna have our moment. Yeah. All right. Americans spend roughly the same amount of legal weed and Taco Bell. So Americans spend between 8.6 and 10 billion last year on weed and 10.8 on Taco Bell. And my thought is whenever they legalize weed in a new state, go buy Taco Bell stock or Cheetos stock. Like, I see this as a financial investment. I don't know. What do you think, Jennings?
I mean, like, look, I think correlation doesn't equal causation. However, I mean, I think it's something worth looking at. And ultimately, like, my take on this is, why not join forces? I mean, why can you imagine a Taco Bell / weed dispensary?
That sounds like even better than my owl themed restaurant idea.
It's a win. Like, you have long lines, yes, but they're all people who are friendly, and they keep it like zigzaggy. So they're gonna go. Basically, the route is go up, get weed, go to table, smoke weed, go to counter, buy Taco Bell. Go to table, eat Taco Bell, go to bathroom, almost die, and then go to car.
That is a fantastic idea. Like, that makes me, I now wonder, because I've only been to Colorado once in the last couple of years. Do you think there are just food trucks hanging outside of dispensaries?
I can't imagine there aren't. I think I read an article about some Girl Scout who'd been like was standing outside of a dispensary.
That woman is our next president.
Yeah.
Hats off to whoever that clever Girl Scout is.
Yeah.
There was this back when we were living in Oklahoma, we were both in Norman. There was this one specific Indian restaurant I like to take dates to.
Which one was it?
I don't remember what it was. It was out near where you lived.
Yeah,
but I can't remember what it was called.
Taste of India.
Yeah, was that it? Okay, yeah.
Half of them are called that. But
it's been a while, but it was a Punjabi restaurant.
I know the one you're talking about. Yeah,
the Punjabi restaurant.
Great. Had great naan.
It was really good. Yeah, I agree. And I would take dates there in part because I liked the food, but also I liked that this one restaurant thought I was a badass player. Like, they're like, there's Heaton again with a date. And then, like, I had to leave it because this Girl Scout would start hanging out and, like, target date couples and be like, mister, do you want to buy Girl Scout cookies for your date? And I'm like, yes, fine, good job. So yeah, those Girl Scouts, they're clever.
They are. I agree.
All right, what do we got? We got a couple stories left. Swarm of ladybugs so large it registers on National Weather Service radar in California. So again, to visualize this, it is such a gigantic swarm of ladybugs that it's showing up on radar, and my immediate thought was, this is like if hipsters wrote the, which is the one where Moses has to.
Oh, the plagues.
Yeah, yeah. Which book is that? Is it Deuteronomy? Exodus. Yeah.
It's either in Genesis.
I whipped that joke so bad.
Oh,
it's like hipster Exodus.
It's hipster Exodus.
It's hipster
like
Exodus.
That.
Yeah, they're all doing that. Or ultimately, it would look like the sky has measles. Either way, it would be terrifying.
My question is, where the hell's our Firefly guy when you need him?
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Yeah, he's in jail. Yeah. Criminal justice reform, please.
That's my fault. It's my fault, you know. That's right. Like, because they'll just eat aphids. I'm not sure. You know, you can buy a tremendous amount of ladybugs for very cheap. It's like 1,000 ladybugs for $10 or something. And they use it as an agricultural thing where if you've got a garden, they eat aphids. Aphids eat your plants. So you open a box, leave it in your garden, and just go. And it, you know, it'll, like, I assume eventually they fly off, but maybe that's where the swarm came from.
As somebody who was at your apartment a week ago, I have to ask, like, you don't have a farm, so why did you have a box of them?
Like me some ladybugs. And also, like, I kind of feel like that's a decent prank. Like, I'm not saying.
Put them in somebody's car when they're getting married.
Oh, man. And then, like, say it's like a love thing or something. Or let's say you leave work on bad terms. Just leave a couple, buy three boxes, so 3,000 ladybugs, and then just open them up and leave.
And like, just grab it, like sprinkle them like salt.
If you really wanted to do it, like put them next to a fan or in the air vents or something. But the idea would be you want the inside of the office to look like it has measles for 2 to 3 months, and then eventually it'll clear out. You just constantly have to be, and then you should tip the. Now that I think about it, you have to think about the effects of pranks too. You'd have to tip the janitors because they're having to do a lot more work
cleaning up
all those ladybug corpses.
Well, maybe you got fired as the janitor.
Yeah, then it's perfect. Then you're absolutely perfect.
You're like, oh, you guys need me back, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Double.
Yeah.
Double. And then you bring in owls.
Yeah.
All right, final headline for today. The FBI just released its Bigfoot file.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. I did not know the FBI was looking for Bigfoot. Did you?
I did not. It seems like something that they would do in the sense that, you know, they've got a lot of time on their hands.
Yeah,
especially recently.
Everything's great right now. Like, why bother? Yeah, like I guess my hope is, I hope that there's this like super grizzled old guy in a trench coat that chain smokes, who's just like you're in the middle of the Pacific Northwest and you're like, I don't know, you're doing a picnic, and then the guy that, like, I'm picturing the guy from Unsolved Mysteries. You're like, today on Unsolved Mysteries, a woman was strangled in a car trunk. Like that guy, but only looking for Bigfoot. And incidentally, I would totally watch a crossover show of Unsolved Mysteries in search of Bigfoot. That sounds glorious.
See, I misunderstood what you were saying. I thought you were saying that Bigfoot is just some old grizzled guy in a suit. And I was like, well, he's going to need an apprentice because he's going to die soon.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I would be Bigfoot's apprentice.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. I do think it's, speaking of it, you know, coming from the FBI, I do think it's a little suspicious that it came out so long after the JFK FBI file.
That's a good point. That's a good point. We need to update our board with red lines on it back in the office to put that in there more.
Exactly. We got some strings to move. What was the actual update? What did it end up turning up?
So the file, the FBI has held classified documents which chronicled the communication between them and the Bigfoot Information Center at exhibition supported by the Academy of Applied Sciences in Boston. Okay. The files also state that the FBI did testing of samples to see if they were really from an unknown species of primate. They weren't. They were deer hairs.
Well, I mean, it's pretty clear. Bigfoot planted deer hairs.
Bigfoot planted the deer hairs.
Obviously,
that's why you can't
to throw
catch
them
him,
off.
Because
yeah.
he's so good at this.
He's smart.
And the one guy you got in a trench coat is out getting the guy shooting fireflies.
Yes.
So we've solved this one.
Yeah.
Jenny, this was fun. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, I had a good time.
Yeah.
Let's do it again.
Cool. Hey, let's do some listener feedback to wrap up the week. On YouTube, Scott Poland says, I can't wait to get my very own beef smoothies. I noticed you didn't include information on where I could purchase some. I also could use some of that toaster insurance while I'm tossing around money. Please advise on the best way to purchase said good or service. Well, I think this is fairly self-explanatory. Beef smoothies, which are made by Liquid Meats Unlimited, you just need to go down to your city's beef district. Just go down to the beef district. You're going to find them. You can't swing a dead cat without hitting those. And then toaster insurance. I don't recall what the name of the company is that sells toaster insurance. Jennings, do you remember the name of the... We're going to have to look into our sponsor on that one. But, you know, I assume any reputable insurance broker that you have will have toaster insurance on hand. Anyway, Mr. Poland, thank you for listening and watching. Specifically watching because you did it on YouTube. Did you guys know we sell merch? We do. If you go to shop.theblaze.com, you can see T-shirts for Jillian's Rooster Removal, Nick's Horseless Diner, Uncle Milton's Caffeinated Crab Dip, Bigfoot for Congress, the Underwater Bank, and, of course, Snuffies. Now, I don't get a cut from that, at least I don't think I do, so I'm not promoting it for my own financial well-being. I'm doing it to grow my ego, and I'm going to ask you to help me do it, because if you tweet me a picture of you in one of those shirts, it will absolutely make my day. You can watch this whole show on YouTube. If you look for Something's Off with Andrew Heaton, you can see my handsome bearded face and my producer Jennings and the assortment of suits and dead bison head we screwed to the wall. Watching Something's Off with Andrew Heaton on your computer or phone is made most satisfying if you have a nice tall glass of lemonade while doing it. And by lemonade, I mean whatever nasty concoction of hooch you favor, whatever vile brew came out of that mind of some depraved alcoholic wizard and has bewitched your senses so that you can actually think you enjoy it, whatever domestic beer you've chosen to spend your life swilling as if domesticity somehow owns you, or actual lemonade. So go to YouTube and start watching full episodes. I look like I could get seasick at Red Lobster. Wow, that's a good one, Jennings. That's a good, like, landlubber, middle-of-the-country jab. Remember, you can always tweet me at Mighty Heaton or Facebook me at facebook.com/MightyHeaton or even email me by subscribing to my newsletter at MightyHeaton.com and just replying when I send it out. Finally, please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. That helps other people discover this here political orphanage. Thank you, and have a good weekend.